All right, welcome back to this emergency recording of Locked On Jaguars. We already had our four episodes out for the week, but with recent news that came out in the past 20 minutes, we decided it was best to go ahead and get out another podcast before the week was over. My name is Zach Goodall. I'm the host of Locked On Jaguars. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, to the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and you can find all of my work as well on my Twitter. You can find my co-host Chris Thornton at Misto Christopho. He's got a lot of takes out there right now considering the news that has just dropped, and that is the Jacksonville Jaguars have traded a fifth round pick to the Cleveland Browns for running back Carlos Hyde, who is on the first year of his three-year deal with the Cleveland Browns, a move that was kind of forced by Cleveland as they've seen tremendous progress out of their second-round pick, Nick Chubb, out of Georgia, and at the same time, he just hasn't gotten the carries and, you know, attention in that offense to warrant, you know, keeping Hyde around. He was doing so well, and yet they weren't giving him the ball enough that they were kind of forced to send Hyde packing to get Chubb these carries. And in return, Jacksonville gets a pretty solid starting running back to fill in for Leonard Fournette. So given that, I am joined by Browns expert and host of the Locked On Browns podcast, Jeff Lloyd. Jeff, thanks for coming on with me so last second here.
Exciting news. I mean, look, I mean, a trade on a Friday afternoon at about this time. I mean, normally you get your 4 o'clock news dump. Maybe I can get a little Auden Tate highlight here to complete my Cleveland weekend. That may be perfect before we go in to play Tampa on Sunday. It was a move that had to be done. There's just better players behind him. And if you're not in it this year, there was no sense to hold back development anymore. Let these kids get their reps.
And a couple of weeks ago when Jags fans were talking up potential trades, I actually suggested they go after another Browns running back, that being Duke Johnson. But I do think that Chubb and Johnson combined can put together a really good backfield for Cleveland, in which case Hyde goes packing. So from what you've seen of him to start this year, you know, what does Carlos Hyde offer to this offense that likes to run a lot of power and has just been missing that factor without Leonard Fournette?
He's going to fit them better. That is what they like to do. Plus, you have a better offensive line in Jacksonville. It's going to help his yards per carry. If you take out the Thursday night game where they beat the Jets, and Carlos Hyde had a very good night that night. It almost got me to the point where I was stopped chirping about what was going on and not getting so aggravated about the situation. But then right back on out with an inferior offensive line. The problem is Carlos is going to get you the yards that are there. You're not going to get much explosion. You're not going to get him making the athletic play in the backfield to save you a loss of three and turn it into a gain of three. You're not going to get with those things. If the hole is there, Carlos Hyde can get north and south without much issue. The problem was they just were giving him more touches, not giving touches to younger running backs who were very, very much better athletes everywhere across the board. Any time event you want to use or shuttle drill or whatever, these guys were better athletically. So it was time to get them the ball. And then the other thing, the last couple of weeks, you know, look, running backs, you're going to have issues with pass pro at times. But one of the things they kept telling us is they couldn't trust the other guys with their pass pro. Well, Carlos didn't have a great week the last 2 weeks. Look, Derwin James is a tough guy to block, so he had a hard time with him. So the writing kind of became on the wall. Well, what excuse are you going to use next? Because it's not showing up. For a team like Jacksonville, who needs that balance of running the ball, because, look, we know ugly Blake, and we know Blake when he's not so ugly. You need to be able to run the ball if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. Makes things so much easier for Blake Bortles. You can't look at him like you look at other big-name quarterbacks where it's like, all right, we're cool with Blake Bortles throwing it 40 times. The Jacksonville Jaguars aren't cool with him throwing it 40 times. It doesn't work for them. A guy like Carlos Hyde can absorb a lot of carries and, you know, can help, you know, aid in a drive and mix together, and you can still get Blake Bortles to do his thing.
Now, in Cleveland, he obviously worked in a bit of a committee, but it's pretty obvious that he was the main guy in that committee, despite other guys outperforming him, with him significantly outplaying Chubb as well as Johnson, with Johnson having such a unique role. Whereas when he's going to be here, TJ Yeldon has been incredibly effective. It's just they haven't trusted the run game as much without Fournette being out there. I think he was averaging 5.6 yards per touch and only involved in 24% of the offensive touches this year. So in terms of truly splitting it 50-50 with another running back who offers a lot of different skill set, do you think that will better suit him? Maybe less time on the field and more of a specialized role?
I think if you're going to put it into a committee of two, it works much better. The problem was with the Browns is it was trying to be a committee of three. And the problem is Todd Haley's here now. And look, Duke Johnson, a lot of what Duke Johnson's done that everybody's liked has been in losing football. So, I mean, if you want to say it was because, you know, his team was down and maybe that's where his role was. I mean, there's a lot of lip service to that and a lot of it's true. But it doesn't mean you can't find a way to still get him involved earlier in the game and use him. It was just the three back approach. It's just so difficult unless you're just going to truly distinguish one as your third down receiving threat. And Duke Johnson is more than that. So they were just doing, I mean, honestly, they were doing all three of the players a disservice by trying to go three man. And Duke actually came, his snap level last week was pretty much closer to Carlos Hyde's. But then again, we're talking about a game where Cleveland was kind of out of it earlier. So let Carlos go there. Let him look. He can catch the ball. He's not fantastic in the receiving game. Doesn't have enough wiggle, you know, out of the break or once he gets the ball where he's going to make somebody miss. Where we've seen Yeldon do that and, you know, it kind of been able to, you know, have a good role with it. So, you know, for the hammer and nail runs, you're going to go with Carlos Hyde. You want to go outside a little more. You want to swing the ball out to a back. Go ahead and use Yeldon for that.
Now, we were talking a little bit about this before we started recording. When I was writing up the initial report of the trade, I looked at his cap numbers for Carlos Hyde after signing the three-year deal back in March. He's due to have a $6 million cap hit in 2019. However, you do believe that this is a deal that, you know, teams can get out of pretty easily, especially being just a three-year, $15 million deal for a running back, correct?
Yeah, I mean, most of this on paper and everyone you talked to pretty much said that this was kind of a, you know, it was a 1 year money up front. And then it's a light bail. I mean, you're going to have to eat a little cap on it, but you can get yourself out of it. But look, I mean, Carlos Hyde's also in the part of his career now where he's not going to be anyone's number one running back. Look, Leonard Fournette, you know, we know as much as fantastic player as he is, injuries are something you deal with. You know, Carlos Hyde goes down there, has a nice stretch here in 2018. You know, if Jacksonville said, hey, if we redo this contract, give you a little more money over the next 2 years, are you interested? I mean, Carlos Hyde, you know, it's not a big market, you know, for a guy like Carlos Hyde. Everybody always wants the running backs as young and cheap as possible. So, you know, it's a possibility he could end up staying there, but it is an easy escape from the deal if you need to get out of it.
And that's one thing that I'm going to break down in my next segment. I do think that TJ Yeldon being a bit younger could end up being a consolation prize for a team in March come free agency that doesn't get to land a guy like Le'Veon Bell, in which case maybe Hyde does stick around as a true power type of backup to Leonard Fournette. And I'll break all that down in my next segment, but first want to thank Jeff so much for coming on to the show. Jeff, give us a quick plug of some of your work that you do. Obviously you're a Locked On brother of mine here.
You know, look, obviously, you know, with over the Locked On Browns, it's been fun because, you know, the team is getting better. Right now we're dealing with some injury issues, but look, those aren't excuses. I mean, every NFL team deals with them. They're going down to Tampa this week. Tampa's going to be without their defensive tackle. They're going to be out one of their defensive ends. So look, at the end of the day, it still matters. You still got to play these games. Nobody's going to care whether or not you're down people. Go out and play football. And look, you know, if this team can get through 7 weeks and possibly be 3-3-1, that's a huge testament to, you know, almost everybody in that building in Berea. And as much as it pains me to say it, I will give Hugh Jackson some credit too. you just need to get this shit. These kids are too young to still being around bad football and losing football. You know, Miles Garrett doesn't need it anymore. Jabril Peppers, look, I mean, 0-16. People think, oh, it's a bad year. Nobody has any idea how much that weighs on a guy when you walk out of your locker room in January. You ain't coming back till, you know, August until it's for real. And you got to walk around town and say, man, 0-16. I mean, it's a tough, tough crown to have to wear. So it's good for these guys that they're starting to play some good ball and they're starting to have some faith in each other. Because there's a lot of guys here, you know, 25 and younger, and they don't want to be a part of this mess no more. They want no part of it. I mean, they want to be part of good football, and that's where it's trending.
And we love to see that finally coming. And we here at the Locked On Jaguars podcast were big fans of Baker Mayfield coming out because we thought there would be a small chance Jacksonville could approach QB this past offseason. We were wrong, but we loved Baker and we love to see him doing well. So be sure to follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd, as well as the Locked On Browns podcast. If you guys are looking for any Browns related content as that team is finally starting to rise out of the dust. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on with me today.
You got it, buddy. No, yeah, absolutely, Zach. Talk anytime, and you know, good luck with Mr. 34. I mean, you got a nice plugger in there till, and obviously, it's not sounding good for Mr. Fournette for a while. So,
and we will be breaking that down on our next segment when we come back from these messages. All right, so now we're going to start breaking down this Jaguars Carlos Hyde trade. from a Jaguar standpoint and try and look into what's going on inside the building. Obviously, the Jaguars' offense has been really hurt by injuries this year, so as if the offense being poor as a whole through the majority of the year wasn't bad enough, injuries are really starting to take a toll on it as well. They are starting their third string left tackle in Josh Walker, who isn't even a left tackle. He came into the year as a right guard that they signed sometime over the offseason. He wasn't a premier type of signing either. He was a depth guy, a guy you try and turn into a long-term backup at guard. Never played left tackle. He's the starting left tackle. They've been through two starting tight ends in games so far with Austin Seferian-Jenkins and Niles Paul. Niles Paul is now on the injured reserve after getting hurt this past week. They were going to start James O'Shaughnessy, a guy I was excited for, and what happened? He is now out of this weekend's game with a hip injury. Didn't even get to do his one start. So they are onto a fourth string tight end, a third string tackle. Running back has been a mess with Leonard Fournette not being available, and it's hurt the offense. They can't stick to what they want to do being a power running team when your fourth overall pick, power running back Leonard Fournette, has not been available. And Mike Silver tweeted this out today after the Carlos Hyde trade came out and said, the Jaguars are growing very frustrated with Leonard Fournette's absence among the coaching staff. The coaching staff is frustrated. Now, is that frustration just, you know, this sucks, like, we don't have him, what can we do? Or is it that they think he might be milking his injury? I have no clue, and I'm not going to speculate on that, but I just want to put both sides out there that they very well could be. The team's frustrated with how Fournette's handling his recovery because he's going to be missing his fifth game of the year. And in 2 years with the Jags, that'd be 8 out of a possible 23 games that he's missed in the regular season. That's not good for a fourth overall pick, especially a running back, in which case they trade for Carlos Hyde. He's a guy that can run a little bit of power. As Jeff said on the previous segment, he's going to be pretty solid in a true 50-50 split type of committee with TJ Yeldon. Looking long-term here, if Fournette remains the guy, which he obviously will be for the next 2 years as long as he gets healthy, because they at least have him through 4 years of a contract, and we'll kind of see where he goes with his health from there. They don't really have a true power back to back him up right now. They have, you know, a receiving, shifty, decent vision type of back in Yeldon, who's not an ideal starter. Like, you're not going to pay him a ton of money to be your starter, but at the same time, I do think he'll get overpaid a bit this free agency as a consolation prize to Le'Veon Bell if some team misses out on him this offseason. And he may be the lead of a committee at some point rather than a true bell cow starter. But Yeldon doesn't fit that power mantra that they're trying to run, whereas Hyde does. So Yeldon very well might walk in free agency this year and take the money, in which case you've got Hyde on a decent deal, 3 years, $15 million, that a lot of the guarantees were paid up front, that you could keep him for the next 2 years as he starts to get a little older. He's in his, I believe, fifth or sixth season in the NFL right now as the true power type of backup to Leonard Fournette that they are truly missing right now. So it'll be really interesting to see exactly what they do at the end of the year. But this is the second year in a row the Jaguars have traded a fifth-round pick in return for something that is badly hurting the team. Last year, they sent what was a sixth-round pick to Buffalo for Marcell Dareus after they ranked 32nd against the run through the first six or seven games of the year. Turned into a fifth-round pick when the Jags made the playoffs, because that was a part of the deal, and their run defense was the best in the league from that point forward. They are hoping to see that same type of production from Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde will come in. Would not be shocked if, maybe not this weekend because it's Friday and the game is on Sunday, but next week he starts really splitting duties with TJ Yeldon, getting a lot of the power carries. He has 5 touchdowns on the year. Maybe put him as the goal line guy. And we'll just kind of see what they try and plan with him. But as for Leonard Fournette, this does not look good at all, especially if the coaches are getting frustrated. 5 games throughout what's about to be a 7-game season. He's been out with a hamstring injury. The best move might be put him on IR at this point, which I think they should have done a long time ago. Maybe after the Jets game, maybe even after the Tennessee game, went ahead and put him on IR, and because they rushed him back. Maybe not the Tennessee game, maybe even after the Giants game week 1 when it was really bad, because they rushed him back. That did them no favors. He's now really, really dealing with a nagging hamstring injury where he might have to miss a significant amount of time. You don't want to rule someone out for the season with a hamstring injury this early. So you put him on the short-term IR. You tell Josh Wells, even though you planned on bringing him back at some point, you know you're a backup tackle, so you're going to be on there full-time or you signed an injury settlement. And you bring him and Austin Seferian Jenkins back after 8 games. That might be the best move to conserve Fournette's long-term health. You don't rush him back. You let him recover. You make sure he's recovering, because if there is any chance of him milking this right now, that's not a good look whatsoever, and you pay close attention to his recovery. But at least you don't have to deal with the constant drama of will he be back, will he not be back, what's going on with Leonard Fournette. You know that no matter what, what's most important is his recovery full on his hamstring for the long term, as well as the important part of the year near the end if they are a playoff contender. So we're going to just have to see exactly how they handle this. But as for now, fifth round pick to the Cleveland Browns for Carlos Hyde. And that should just about do it on this real quick episode of Locked On Jaguars, getting this out there before you guys drive home from work at 5 o'clock. After this news broke at about 3:30, the Jaguars did trade for Carlos Hyde, and we'll just have to see how he performs here in Jacksonville. A quick change in scenery from the Cleveland Browns. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you can find podcasts, you will find Locked On Jaguars. Keep leaving those ratings and reviews. My name is Zach Goodall. Follow me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall. Follow my co-host at Misto Cristofo, Chris Thornton. He didn't get to join me today because this is so spur of the moment. And follow the Locked On Jaguars handle at Locked On Jaguars on Twitter.